They have their own. Ephesians chapter 5 today. Ephesians chapter 5. I was thinking about time this week. Time is a very interesting thing in life, interesting commodity, right? There tends to be, it never stops, right? It always keeps on going, despite what movies would make you think. It never slows down or speeds up, right? It just passes, right? And time passes all the time, if you pardon the expression. The one thing about time that, you know, sometimes, and I'll speak for myself, sometimes you have this notion that someday you'll have time. Anybody ever think that? Or is it just me, right? Someday I'm going to have the time for this, right? Someday I'll have the time for that. Does that someday ever arrive for anybody here? No. Interesting. Before you know it, like a few seconds will turn into minutes. Minutes will turn into, what's next? Hours? Hours to days, weeks, months, years, and years pass. And before you know it, you go, what happened? Did anybody ever say, what happened to all that time? I can't remember. You know, like, it just, time passes, right? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, and not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And the context here is, if you read the context, there's a lot here in there about all the evil things that surround man and happen around man, and God says, just don't waste your time on those things. That's the context of that verse. But the thing I was looking at is redeeming the time. If you remember, I mean, I think we all understand that Jesus Christ has redeemed us, right? We always talk about redemption. Well, when he redeemed us, God had to pay with his life, right? Redemption cost God something, right? Cost him the life of his son, right? If I want to redeem my time, right, it's going to cost me something, right? I don't just make time for God and it not cost me something. I can't redeem my time without paying something in some other part of my life, right? And that's the thing with time, is we think we'll always have time, right? But until we understand that if I want to make time for something that's important in my life, I'm going to lose time somewhere else, right? There isn't an infinite amount of time in life, right? There really isn't. Right? So redeeming the time. Well, if you want to redeem your time, it's going to cost you something. Right? It's going to cost me something. It's not just going to happen all of a sudden I have all this extra time. You know, take studying God's Word. I mean, I learned many, many years ago, right, that I'll never have, never is a figure of speech, because sometimes you do, I'll never have the 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 hours of straight time to do it. It's a lot of things happen in life, right? When you have a family, there are always things happening. So if I'm going to wait for the 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 hours to study God's Word, what's going to happen? I'll never study God's Word, right? I'll never do it. Right? Another thing about time that I find particularly interesting is nobody has enough of it, right? Whether you're single, whether you're a family with 18 children, or whether it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your back. Nobody has time. Right? Which is an interesting, if you think about, sit back and think about that for a while, right? It seems like things always come up to take your time, right? And if you think that that is just coincidental, right, then you're sadly mistaken, right? Because if we've forgotten that even this fight for our time is a spiritual battle, then we've been deceived, right? If I want my time back, I can make the time for. Okay, another thing about time before I go forward too much here is, are you in charge of your time? Pretty much, you know. I mean, house fires and things notwithstanding, right? That you have to deal with right away. That's what I'm getting at, right? Pretty much, you choose what you want to do with your time. Yeah, I choose what I want to do with my time. Right? Yeah, is there somebody whose time is completely, except for the President of the United States, right? Even then, he chooses what he wants. I've seen him on the golf course a few times. Right, so I choose, you choose. We all choose what we want to do with our time. So I make the time for what I want to make the time for. Right? Yeah, I mean, it's quite, so when God says to redeem the time, he's not asking us to do something that we're incapable of doing. Right? God wouldn't say, I want you to do this, and then say, well, I know you can't, but do it anyway. No, you can choose what you want to do with your time. Right? In Matthew chapter 6, Matthew 6. And in verse, where we go? We're going to verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. First doesn't mean it's one of the top 10 things in your life. Right? That's not what it means. We can interpret it to mean that if we're silly, but that's not what it means. First means what? First, right? If you go to the front of the line, is that the among the top 10? No, you're at the front. It's the first thing. So God says, seek first, and that includes in your time, in my allocation of the time of my day, of my daily things that I do or that we do. God said, seek me first, right? So first doesn't mean among the top three either, or the top two, right? It means first, right? So when I'm thinking about my time, which we all have 24 hours a day of, right, unless somebody's been shorted, no. We all have 24 hours. When I'm thinking of my time, then I got to think, God said to me, seek me first, right? So then, if I'm prudent and I want to redeem my time, then I should make time for him on a daily basis, right? I should. I'm talking for myself now, right? I a lot of times when I teach, I think about areas of my life that I need help in. I'll just share it with you guys. I hope it blesses you too, right? But and you think about your life and you go, okay, then I should allocate time daily, right? Who thinks that's very easy to do, right? It's not, is it? Right? That's why redeeming costs you something. It's going to cost you something. And you're here today, in this fellowship, for example. You just spent a few hours of your time, right? It costs you something to be here, you know. It cost me something. Right? See, when I think about the thing with serving God is, I think a lot of believers think that it'll just happen, right? I don't have to plan for it. It'll just happen. Well, you know, Bibiana was praying about university. Well, I know there are a lot of details to sort out in going to university, right? You know, how about your daily job or, you know, making a meal, right? It takes time. It takes time for us to prepare and do all the things it takes to do all the other things we do. Why should we think it takes less to serve God than to do the things of God? Why would I ever think that? Right? It costs you something, you know. The question that I have to answer, that we all have to answer, is, well, is it important enough for me to take that time? Right? In Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 42. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem, talking about Jesus, after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they had found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. I mean, I can't imagine what I would go through if my child did this to me. I can't imagine, you know. Like, I know what I would do when I found him. But anyhow, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Like, to him, it almost reads like, why are you surprised? Right? Don't you know that the most important thing I've got to do is deal with my service to God? Right? See that? So you see how he thought about his time at the age of 12? Right? He didn't do this to slight his mother or father. Right? He didn't say, well, I don't care about me. He loved his mother and mom and dad, didn't he? Who did he love more? God, right? And so he was willing at that early age to say, Mom, Dad, don't you know that this is what my life is about? You know, again, a lot of times we as believers, you know, God is an interruption in our life, not what our life is all about sometimes, right? You know, again, that can happen, right? As the days, months, years, you go, you know, well, okay, oh, I got to do that, you know. You know, if I ever, this is me, I'll speak for myself. If I ever say to myself, oh, I've got to read my Bible, I'm not going to read it, okay? If that's the attitude with which I read the Bible, forget it, right? Just forget it. Now, why would I read my Bible? Because maybe, just maybe, I want to know the creator of the heavens and the earth. Maybe I just want to spend a bit of time with him. Maybe he's got something to tell me that I don't already know. I doubt it, right? Right. No, what it, you see, why would I go and read these words here every day, right? Or whenever we make time for it, right? I want to know God. I don't ever want to approach it from the point of view of, oh, this is what I've got. I got to read my Bible today. You mean I got to do that? You know, and there are a lot of things we do in life that, you know, that we love to do, right? Anybody ever say, oh, I got to go to a movie? You know, it's interesting, right? You know, again, I look at things in life that way. I go, I got to think about it. I sit back and, okay, I say, I got to go to a movie, or I get to go to a movie. And when it comes to the Bible, I got to say things like, I got to read my Bible, or I get to read my Bible. You know, it's all a matter of what do I consider important enough to spend my time on. And again, I keep saying, it's going to cost you something, right? That's what redeeming the time means. God says, look, be wise, right? Redeem the time. The days are evil, right? 1,000 years from now, right? The other activities we do in life will have no effect. Nothing, right? But the time we choose to serve him will mean a lot 1,000 years from now, right? Look at Luke chapter 10. So Jesus Christ was a you know, again, if you read, when you read the Gospels, you see it in his life that regularly in his conversations, the things he said to others, the things that he thought about, his mind was always in one place, right? It was serving God, right? That's where his mind was. And that doesn't mean that we now quit our jobs and, you know, all that. That's not what it means. It means, where's my mind at when I do my job, you know? What am I doing? What am I thinking about when I walk to the water fountain? What do I think about when I walk? You know, what am I thinking about? Where is my mind at? What do I choose to do with my time? God says it's your time. You know, it's you know, I can choose to say, well, my time is in your hands, God. I can say that. I can, you know, as a religious statement. But how do I act? How do I actually walk out on that? Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Missed it. Now it came to pass, as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, don't you see that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her here, therefore, and that she can help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. It says in Ecclesiastes, yet is there no end of all man's labor, right? There is always more to do, right? You know, we make lists, we make plans, we do, there's always more to do. And that's when we started, I mentioned that if I think that my time and the taking up of it all the time by various activities and all the things that happen is completely coincidental, right? I'm wrong, right? We're in a spiritual battle, right? There's the battle for your time. If you can be kept from serving God by taking up all your time in life, you know where that's going, you know, that's, then guess what happens, right? You don't get a chance to do it, right? So here, Martha, you know, there's always more things to do. There are always things we can find to do all the time, guaranteed, right? We plan activities. Remember, you're in charge of your time. You do what you like to do when you choose to do it, what you want to do when you want to do it, except for the women who make lunch and meals for all their families, right? I guess they do, but you know, the repercussions are pretty bad if they don't, right? You know, I'm getting at it. I mean, we choose to plan and schedule our time the way we choose to do it. That's what we do, right? So here in this case situation, you know, there's this famous book that went out years ago. It was called The Habits, Seven Most Habits of Very Effective People or something. I can't remember the name of the book, something like that. But the first one, one of the first ones was, you do the important things first. Well, where did that come from, right? It came from, the guy didn't make that up. That's what God said, right? Right. I mean, great he said it, but now here, Jesus said, yeah, Martha, there's always work to do, but right now, what's important is that she is listening to what he had to say. That's what he said, that's important right now. And she's not going to lose that. There will always be sandwiches to make, right? Always. Look at Mark chapter 1. Mark verse 34, and he, talking about Jesus, healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. Verse 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed, right? He scheduled his time, and the night before he was busy, but he scheduled his time, he scheduled it to get up a great while before a day. I don't know about you, but I had this thing, you probably noticed, if you don't get to certain things early in the morning, when there's a lack, you know, early in the morning, there's a very distinct lack of activity in the world. Have you ever noticed? The longer you leave it, half hour, 40 minutes, an hour, the harder it is for you, or I'm speaking for myself, to complete that task that you wanted to do early in the morning, right? Have you ever found that? Don't more things come at you and more things you got to think about, more noises to hear, more sounds, the activity level goes up exponentially by the time 8, 9, 10. So, Jesus Christ, what did you, great while. Great while doesn't mean 5 minutes. It means a great while. He got up a great while before day. He chose that was the time that he was going to spend, right? Because, you know, the other business, busyness and business of life comes at you pretty fast, right? And then it's hard. You know, did you ever say, well, I'm going to get that later, you know? I don't have the time now. I'm going to make that time later around supper. Yeah. Ever not get that time? You know, your time is valuable. You redeem it. You decide what to do with your time. Because things always come at you, you know, like maybe you plan to pray for an hour in the evening, or half hour, or 10 minutes at 6 p.m., right? Well, if somebody comes to visit you, you're still going to do that? Right. I don't know. It's up to you. You still could. Right. Jesus said, what are you worried about, Mom? Right. Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? What's more important to you? What's more important to me? Right. What is it? Right. In Jeremiah chapter 2, Psalms, Proverbs, Isaiah, Jeremiah, chapter 2. You know, because time passes, and this is an interesting verse here. Is that where I want to go? Jeremiah 2 in verse 32. It says, can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. I read that verse and I go, how could that possibly happen? Right? My people, he said, have forgotten me days without number. You know, there's this one thing about time. They used to say, you know, did you ever hear that expression? Time makes the heart grow fonder, which is a lie, right? Right. The divorce rate in the Canadian Army would prove to you that isn't true, right? Time makes the heart forget. That's what it does, right? The more time that passes, the more that I allow the things of God to leak out of my life on a daily basis, the more time that passes, the harder it is. That's what time does. Time has that habit. If I don't do something consistently in my life, right? I was thinking about it the other day. In high school, I played table tennis, a lot of table tennis, you know, played competitions and university matches and, you know, championships, Nova Scotia, all kinds. I was sitting back the other day. I couldn't remember the rules of table tennis. I don't know how many hundred or maybe 1,000 games I've played. I couldn't remember the rules. I said, what does the game go to again? You know? I have to really think about it. You know, the more you allow time, and you don't stay, I haven't played for many years, obviously, but the more you allow time to, you know, erode away at the daily things of God, the harder it gets to get to them again, right? Here, there's a case where God says, they had forgotten God, days without number. That's not like 3 days, okay? Days without number, that's a lot of days. There's a record in the Bible where they had camels without number, right? Thousands of camels. Days without number. They had forgotten. How could you not think about God for... that's what happened. Look at in Ezekiel chapter 22. Just a couple books over to the right. Ezekiel 22... Verse 28. And if you read the whole record here, there's a lot of things Israel was doing that wasn't a great blessing. But at the end, in verse 28, and her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and dividing lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. So the guys were prophesying lies. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me. So God was looking for somebody for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Nobody, right? A time when God couldn't find anybody that would turn towards him. You see what time does? If you just stray and stray, you know, the old expression, the old idea of if you have an ocean liner bound for London, right, from New York, if it's pointing 1/100th of a degree to the north or south, it's not making it. And the further it goes, the further it misses the target. And that's what time does to us. If I don't dedicate my life, if I don't redeem my time, right, it's my time, you know, then that's what happens, right? In Psalm 63. You know, I often think that if we could look ahead to the return of Christ, and we can by what God has shown us, but, you know, like how they do Star Trek, right? Anybody fans? I was a big fan of Star Trek, right? Where you can go ahead in time, right? Look, go back in time. Okay, anyway, you go ahead in time, you jump aboard the USS Enterprise and go, you know, 1,000 years into the future and take a look back. And you look at your life and say, you know, I did that. And then you think about now, 1,000 years later, what's important as a result of what we did back then. There's a good chance that I would probably change what I did back then, right? If you had a chance. We often say it now as adults, gee, I wish I had to do it over again, right? If I had the choice to make, I would do this, right? And we tell our kids that, and they go, ah, you don't know what you're talking about, Dad. Right? You know, we do that. We always look back and say, well, talk about a perspective, God's perspective, 1,000 years from now. What is it that isn't wood, hay, and stubble? What is the stuff that doesn't get burnt up of our life here? What's the stuff that lasts? Right? What's tried? In Psalm 63, God, verse 1, God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Right? Look at David's heart here. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live, I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches. See, early, he sought for him. He fellowshiped with him. He looked forward to night times when he could spend time with him, right? And remember God and meditate on his word. It's he practiced God's presence with him all the time. When he walked to the water fountain, right? When he went to get a cup of coffee. When he sat down to read his email, right? When he even went to watch TV, right? When he went to play hockey, when he went to play soccer, when he went to do all, he looked forward to. You see, I can choose to do what I want to do with my time. I can choose to take my mind where I want it to go when I'm doing whatever activity that I'm doing. Right? That's up to me. And here, David, he couldn't wait because here was a time where he just set aside to meditate on his word. Right? Verse 7, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard upon thee. You think that didn't cost David something? You think it didn't cost him some other things that he could have done? Right? David's fellowship with the Lord didn't just happen. Look how much he yearned for it. I followed hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. We'll close in 2 Timothy chapter 3. As you know, 2 Timothy, we've said it many times before, an epistle written by Paul at a time when the church, first century church, was in ruin and people had started straying from the truth, and there was various steps that they took to do that. So he writes to Timothy, and it's interesting the words that are employed in this letter here. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. You know, just reading Paul's life, you see how much his time was dedicated to what he did. Right? The only reason he worked was so people couldn't, you know, say, well, he just, you know, is living off other people. So the gospel wouldn't be affected. He worked, but that's the only reason, right? Verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, but thou, Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Continue. To continue in something takes time. He's not telling Timothy, you just chill out, relax, be cool. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I charge ye therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Which is, what does that mean? All the time. Right? All the time. See, what is Paul telling Timothy at a time when they were in trouble? Right? The church was in trouble. Stick to the word. And if he didn't make the time to do that, right, it would be the Jeremiah days without number, right? Nobody left to stand in the gap, right? Nobody, because they had strayed, right? So Paul exhorts him, look, forget about the administration of the church. I mean, he didn't say that, but what he said was, stick your mind into God's word. Put your mind in God, continue in God's word, right? Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, all the time. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Don't all these words mean taking time? It takes a lot of time to do all this, right? I have to make the time. You have to make the time. It's up to you. It's up to me. If I want to redeem my time, it's going to cost me something. If you want to redeem your time, it's going to cost you something, right? It doesn't just happen for free, right? Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, right? Now there, if that doesn't mean it takes time, right? I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith, right? See the words being used there, continue, in season, out of season, watch, fought, endure. All these things, it doesn't just happen, right? If he's going to watch over people, he's got to take time. If he's going to continue in the scriptures, he has to take the time. If he wants to fight a good fight, you know, you don't just sit back and say, well, I fought a good fight, right? It cost him something. There was time involved in life, right? Redeeming the time because the days are evil, well, that has many facets for every area of our life. Do I schedule my time? Do I even think about scheduling my time, right? What do I consider most important? Does seeking God first, does that mean for me that I allocate my time wisely, right? And, you know, again, to look at Jesus Christ's life and how he took his time. I mean, throughout the days that he spoke, it doesn't mean necessarily he was preaching all the time. It just means that whatever he did, and if you notice, you look at his conversations, whatever he did, he took those conversations exactly where God wanted them. It wasn't a matter of, you know, 4 hours of speaking about the latest, you know, rap song or latest movie, and, oh, I'm going to squeeze in the scripture here. You know, it wasn't like that. It was, his heart was towards God. Because what's going to matter? You got to sit back and think, what's going to matter 1,000 years from now? Maybe that's not important to you now. I guarantee it will be 1,000 years from now. You know, if you had that image back to look at your life, what would I have done different, right? Well, you have the chance right now. You can choose to redeem. I can choose to redeem my time, right? The way I want to do it, right? So, a little bit on redeeming the time. And that some of the things we have to think about in order to achieve that, right?